หริโอสหนาภาวะทุสหนาหุนัตทุสหริยังคารวาวะไหเทจสวินาวะดีตมัสตุมาวิดวิชาวะไหOm Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Okay, Chaitanya Upanayanam and Nyaya Sutras, right? So, page 5. Brahmanas are of three types: Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, and Upasanakanda. Since karma is insentient and thus not independent, it is the Lord who gives the result of karma. Thus, ultimately, even Karmakanda indicates the Supreme Lord. In worship, Upasanakanda, other devatas are worshipped, but Upasanakanda also indicates Bhagavan, since the devatas are his servants. Steady worship of Bhagavan is included in Jnanakanda. Jnanakanda has two parts, indicating Brahman and Bhagavan, since both are actually a single conscious entity. In Jnanakanda, the word jnana means both knowledge and bhakti. The word jnana is predominantly used to mean impersonal jnana, just as the word Kaurava usually means Dhritarashtra and his brothers. But the second meaning of jnana is knowledge and worship of Bhagavan, right? Because Kaurava means anyone in that family, so the Pandavas are always also Kauravas. But generally you say Kauravas and Pandavas, like that. So that's what we're saying. Jnana means, because actual knowledge means knowing Krishna. That's the real, Atakto Brahmaji, yeah, that's the real knowledge. Other things that are not.
Also, the example of Kaurava means indicating the negative person. Similarly, Jnana indicating the negative person.
Okay, yes, yes, very nice.
What was the question?
He was saying that when you say Jnana and Bhakti, like you say Kaurava and Pandava, Kaurava seems the negative.
Oh.
Pandava is the positive. So in the same way, Bhakti is the positive, Jnana is the negative. Though Jnana means Bhakti. If you see it in that light, it's not negative. But, but the second meaning of jnana is knowledge and worship of Bhagavan. Impersonal Brahman also ultimately points to Bhagavan, since it indicates the Lord's Swarup in a general way. Because it means, just like if you talk about sunshine, it indicates the sun. You can't say that, no, the sunshine is only the sunshine, there's no sun planet, there's no sun god. You can't say that. When you say the sun, like look out the window, I don't see the sun planet, but I see the sunshine, oh, the sun's out.
Oh.
So I'm indicating, Bhagavan, that's the whole point. So you can't separate them, because Brahman means the effulgence of the Swarup. That's all. It's just the feature of the Swarup. Vedangas are explained as methods for worshipping Bhagavan. Siksha teaches hand movements and intonation for reciting prayers to Vishnu. Kalpa gives rules for the order of that recitation. Right? Because Kalpa means you have a ritual. So the ritual is there. We look at it as the ritual because we think the ritual is doing, but it's actually the mantra that's important. Right? And so the order of the mantras and a particular ritual goes with a particular mantra. Does that make sense? We're starting the class. The mantras, we're using that Sahanavama too. And then at the end we're using Hare Krishna. So then you know which ones go where. You see, it's Hare Krishna is independent because it goes at the beginning and the end. And while we're discussing, it'll also come up. So it's the beginning, middle, and end. So? Yeah, and when it says hand movement, because the proper, when you're chanting, you're also using the hand movements. Means you can either, because you have three notes, so then you're either using the middle note, the upper note, or the lower note, right? And then sometimes you hear those ones that'll use the middle and then go up. So then they'll go from here and then go out to here, because that means it's different, you know, like that. Or you can also use lower, middle, and higher. And then when it goes out that, then they go this way, you know, like this, you know. Like we said, sahana bhavatu, sahana punaktu, sahavirayan, you know, sahavirayan kadabhavaha. Does that make sense? Or, you know, sahana bhavatu, sahana punaktu, sahavirayan kadabhavaha. Oh, I think they go out this way. Sahavirayan kadabhavaha. So it goes that. So that's why you're wondering why it says hand movements.
I was thinking it's a Hindu.
Yeah. That's the singers.
Yeah, because even some kirtaniyas they do. And then it's very elegant, actually, if they know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, I was thinking, oh, yeah.
Yeah, same hand. Just give one slap. It's not very elegant. Vyakara and grammar is useful for correct expression, because then you're saying the right words in the right way and everything. Nirupta is for understanding the meaning of the words. Jyotish is knowledge for selecting proper times for festivals of Vishnu. Right, so when you apply that kalpa. Right? Chandas is for knowledge of the meter of Vishnu mantras. Right, so you see is that they all go together, they're supporting. Other scriptures following the Vedas conclude in Bhagavan because of what will be explained. Both Purma Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa derive from karma, and karma and jnana khandas conclude in Bhagavan. Right? The logical systems of Gotama, Karnada, and Kapila end in Bhagavan, since they accept the existence of the Lord in material and spiritual categories. Patanjali ends in Bhagavan, since the systems teach worship of the Lord. Right? So here's that. Now we've done the Vedas themselves and the Brahmanas and all that, and the philosophy there. Then we've done the Vedangas, and now we're doing Upangas, right? So the first Upanga is Mimamsa. You know? Does that make sense? So the six systems like that. The Smritis follow the three khandas of the Vedas, which were all analyzed. Alankara, Kama Tantra, and Gandharva music conclude in the Lord, since they reach perfection in realizing the sweetness of the Lord's pastimes. Niti and Silpa reach the perfection of serving the Lord. Ayurveda and Dhanurveda conclude in the Lord, since without worship of the Lord they become useless. Jiva Goswami's commentary in Bhagavad Sandarbha, Anucheta 109. So then you have the three khandas of the Vedas. Okay, then Alankara Kama Shastra. So Kama Shastra will be part of the Puranic aspect. It'll just be, you know, the art aspect of that. And then Gandharva, we mentioned before. So music, drama, dance, those go together. That's Gandharva Veda. You know, so then it's basically the Ayurveda, Stapana Veda, you know, Dhanurveda, then, you know, like this. You know, the whole Gita is around that aspect, you know, in that environment. So then he's mentioning that everything else in the Upangas, because that's the Purana, which includes the histories, and then then Dharma Shastra, you have Dharma Artha Niti, and Kama. That's also in that line. And then Nyaya, of course, then is discussed generally with the philosopher. So, yes? Shruti, Smriti?
Prasthanatraya.
Oh, Prasthanatraya. Where's Upanishads?
No, where is six
Yeah, he was saying he thinks it's in Nyaya. I mean, they're discussed in Nyaya anyway, Prashtan. Because Vedanta Sutra is Nyaya Prashtan, so that discusses the six systems. So it's already there. So that and anything, any philosophical thing, is all there. So. Introduction to Nyaya from the Six Systems of Vedic Philosophy by H.H. Sahotra Swami. Thanks. soul rest in peace. No. Salvation of. How do you do the other one? How would you do that? Let's see. Like that or something?
They don't do.
I'm just joking. I'm just saying.
Oh, like
they
oh yeah, that, yeah, that, yeah.
Okay. And do like this.
Okay. That's the proper thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. And when you do that, then you start.
Then you start. Like
then you start swimming.
And then you do this. It depends. What you're supposed to
do. Do they have something? Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. No, not
always.
Oh, yeah, it's like an abahan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize it was an abahan. Yeah, I didn't catch it was an abahan. I thought it was just, you know, that they had. I didn't realize they were calling. Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
I feel like I've combined everything.
Yeah, yeah. Introduction to Nyaya. Okay. The Nyaya system of philosophy was established by the sage Gotama, as he was also known as Akshapada. The system is also sometimes referred to as the Akshapada system. You know how he's got the name Akshapada?
No.
Means he, as I think as a student or even otherwise, he would always study. So he didn't want to waste any time. So even when he was walking, he would have the books and study and be walking. But because of that, then he fell in a ditch or something like that. It's a big problem. So then, I'm not sure who gave him, but someone gave him the benediction. He has eyes on his feet. So that way he can study, but his feet can see where he's going so he doesn't fall in a ditch. So therefore he's known as Akshapada. So Aksha means eyes, Pada means. So it's also known as Nyaya or Akshapada, just in case you hear that, then you know. Nyaya philosophy is primarily concerned with the conditions of correct knowledge and the means of receiving this knowledge, right? So what is correct and how to gain it? That's what it's for. He's given it because his idea is through knowledge you'll be able to attain the Supreme. It's through ignorance you're here, because that's the Veda. It says, through ignorance you're in the material world, through knowledge you go there. So he... then how that knowledge should work, how to define ignorance from knowledge. So he doesn't take it all the way back to bhakti, but the principle is that. Because as it is, as it mentions, Jiva Goswami, you're talking about Brahman or anything like this, or even the Karma, he's talking about Krishna. So indirectly he's talking. So all the six schools actually hidden in it is actually it's about bhakti. But because people aren't going to just be satisfied with Vedanta, therefore, the other five schools are given so that people at least are following the Veda, and it's progressive, though it's in an indirect way. Does that make sense? So in other words, all the indirect preaching's already been done. Nyaya is predominantly based on reasoning and logic, and therefore is also known as Nyaya Vidya or Tarka Shastra. Quote, the science of logic and reasoning, end quote. Because this system analyzes the nature and source of knowledge and its validity and non-validity, it is also referred to as anvikshiki, which means the science of critical study. Using systematic reasoning, this school of philosophy attempts to discriminate valid knowledge from invalid knowledge. It means what's real knowledge, what's not, because otherwise people throw out all kinds of things. But it's not actually valid knowledge, or it has no connection with what you're saying. It may be a common word, you know, but it's not. So, you know. This philosophy asserts that obtaining valid knowledge of the external world and its relationship with the mind and self is the only way to attain liberation. One masters the logical techniques of reasoning and assiduously applies these in his daily life, he'll rid himself of all suffering. Right? So we know that by performing bhakti, knowledge comes. So what he's talking about does happen. But through bhakti already includes this. Right? But when you're discussing with people who aren't in bhakti, then this comes in very handy. Or when you're dealing with doubts for those within bhakti, then it comes in handy. So Thus, the methods and conditions of determining true knowledge are not the final goal of Nyaya's philosophy. Logical criticism is viewed only as an instrument that enables one to discriminate valid from invalid knowledge. So that's what we were talking before, is that he's explaining what is valid and what's invalid. So he'll show these techniques that people use in argument are invalid, and these techniques are valid. Then you can actually distinguish, you know, when you're, you know, so many times these wild questions come up, because they're actually invalid logic. That's why they become confused. They think it's logical, but it's not. Therefore, they become confused. The ultimate goal of Nyaya philosophy is like that of the other systems in philosophy. Indian philosophy is liberation, the absolute cessation of pain and suffering. Nyaya is a philosophy of life, is a philosophy of life, even though it is mainly concerned with the study of logic and epistemology. Right. It's the philosophy of that, but as it says, it doesn't really get into how you're going to apply, but it gives its point. So in other words, each of the six schools, using something that's actually from the Vedas, so ultimately it's from bhakti, they take that one out and separate it and emphasize that, then it's known by that school. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Right. Can we answer invalid questions by logic?
Yes. Means point is much of the time people, they get confused themselves.
Yeah.
They're asking a question. See, there's a difference between the person is confused, so he's asking the question, or the person has an issue and he's trying to defeat what you said.
Yeah.
Either way, it works. And the one, you use the proper way, and then you defend against their so-called presentation of logic, you know. Even if they are, then there's something wrong with their understanding or conclusions. But also sometimes people just hear something and you know how something's going on, someone says, oh, but that's this, and everyone goes, oh, yeah. Because it just seems to make sense to their mind. But that it makes sense to the mind doesn't mean it's intelligent.
Yeah.
You know? So here is you're trying to introduce the intelligence to control the mind. That's the whole idea, is that in the process, the intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul, not the mind. So if the mind's absorbed in Krishna, you already attained what you want. But because it's distracted by the desires of the mind based on the false ego, therefore intelligence is used. And so how intelligence can be healthfully used, that's then what the Nyaya is about. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. This your wife went in and then you walked out. And she's grown.
Transformation.
Yeah. This is her brahmachari saroop, right? You know, so you come to Gurukul, do the glasses.
She didn't come black. She didn't come out black.
Yeah, that's
the same color. Otherwise, it's too much.
Each time, what?
Yeah. Well, why I'm asking it, because...
Yes, so they say they're confused, so therefore you logically present and you show how what they're saying is hold for. Because you walked in and then the Mahatkata walked out. You're just thinking, oh, this is the Brahmachari avatar.
Wait, sir.
Yeah. So then
they're confused.
They're confused, so you logically present, but it doesn't mean that you don't know their confusion and therefore know how they got there. Because if you can understand what went wrong, you know, which is either they're using invalid evidence, or they don't have a proper, they're misconstruing the terms, or this and that, then you can try to logically establish what's the proper. So you can always work on logic. But even if sometimes someone's totally illogical, you can use these improper systems against them, but you're logically using them.
Yeah. Well, then they become embarrassed.
Yes. Yes.
So the point, if somebody has asked an invalid question, how to bring out, it's one of the aspects which is called tarka by its name also. The eighth one. So the whole purpose of tarka is to distinguish between invalid and valid. By counter questioning with answers, it says by the system of paksha and pratipaksha, means by argument, the thesis and antithesis. So that is one of the padarthas, one of the divisions of this 16.
So we're gonna
we're gonna
study that.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And then once they don't have, like, once they have ill motivations, then they go into the next after the 9th, 10th one. Is then they're using chala.
Yeah.
Yeah. Means if they're not sincerely looking, just trying to argue, then if they're using, then you can use those to just defeat it.
Yeah.
You know, or once you come to the point of the 16th one, Nigrahastana, that they don't even know what they're talking about and don't know what you're talking about, then there's no use of the conversation, so you just leave.
Yeah.
Oh, because your place can throw them out.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking, can we kick them out?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, in this thing, means it's still, you know, within the Slavic tradition, is that there's a place below Poland and north of, I think, Hungary?
Yeah.
Like that? So there, the popular thing when you want to resolve an argument that's not able to be resolved, then the technical term's called defenestration. Yeah, it's a technical term. It's very well used. If you mention it to anyone from that region of Europe, they understand exactly what it means. It means tossing the guy out the window. You know how in the rest of Europe, then there's a battle and a war, and, you know, this king, and who's going to be the king? In Czech, they just toss the guy out the window. Why waste money and military and all time when you can just toss the guy out the window? Right? And in castles, it's quite high, so when they get tossed out, then, you know, it works. Or they go into the boat with the alligators, and then, you know, something, it works out. So. Yeah. That's always the famous one. You know, the argument happens, you know, and with somebody else, he says, oh, yeah, this is nonsense, I'm leaving. Then you walk out the door. Then about 2-5 seconds later, they walk back in. Hey, this is my house, you leave. Yeah, so. Yeah. So it's just, you just see what works. All six schools of Vedic philosophy aim to describe the nature of the external world and its relationship to the individual, right? They're just using different aspects, you know, either through logic, through the atomic theory, through analysis of the elements, through the mind and yoga, you know, through activities and duties and karma, or through, you know, the soul and Brahman. You know, they're all trying to describe, you know, Brahman and the material energy, right? So. And its relationship... All six schools of Vedic philosophy aim to describe the nature of the external world and its relation to the individual, to go beyond the world of appearances to ultimate reality, and to describe the goal of life and the means for attaining this goal. In this attempt, the six philosophies divide their course of study into two major categories. One thing is goal of life and the means to attain. They don't all say that. At least Nyaya doesn't. So it might be worthwhile to just get up to the appearance of ultimate reality. In this attempt, the six philosophies divide their course of study into two major categories: the study of unmanifested reality and the study of manifest reality. In Nyaya philosophy, both aspects of reality are divided into 16 major divisions called padarthas. These 16 philosophical divisions are Praman, the sources of knowledge, Prameya, the object of knowledge, Shamshaya, doubt, or the state of uncertainty, Prayojana, the aim, Drishtanta, the example, Siddhanta, doctrine, Avyaya, the constituents of inference, that means the Panchanga, like that, Tarka, hypothetical argument, you know, like we was mentioning before. Tarka means, okay, is it, you know, we have these three things, which is it? You know, which is the reality? So this is, has this, 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 you know, like that, but this one has this, 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 but that one has that, you know. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know. So that's the... Nirnaya, conclusion. Vada, discussion. Jalpa, wrangling. Vitanda, irrational argument. Hetva Bhasha, spacious reasoning. What was the other? Spacious?
Fallacious.
You know, it's not real. You're using reasoning that actually is
false,
not reasonable.
False,
yes, false reasoning like that.
Logical fallacies.
Logical?
Fallacy.
Maybe put that. Put instead of spacious,
yeah,
but logical fallacy.
So.
It's illogical, basically.
But they're presenting as if it's...
As if it is.
Okay. Yeah. Chala, unfair reply. Jati, generality based on a false analogy. And Nigrahastam, the grounds for defeat. The subjects discussed under Praman, the source of knowledge, are the most important and most thoroughly and profoundly expounded of all divisions. So, we'll get into that later. You have Praman and Prameya, but all these others are there because you could say they're all included within these things, but technically they're brought out because they're very major points that you must know. Then you can actually understand. Okay? Nyaya 16 divisions, padarthas of studying reality. Okay, so we have one, it's Pramana. Four sources of valid knowledge. Perception, pratyaksha. So in perception you have ordinary, lokika, intermediate, nirvikalpa, and extraordinary, alokika. And within that you have classes, samanyal, chana, association, jnana lakshana, samanya lakshana, and intuition, yogyata. Right, so these are all the way he breaks down what's perception, because otherwise you could say, but then even if you understand this, you can understand how to break down that they say, well, you know, everybody can see it, but who's this everybody and what are they seeing? How are they seeing?
By what method?
By what method is they call their perception, you know, like that, because otherwise, but he feels like that. But yes, so, you know, why is that important? You know, I feel like, you know, picking up the pillow and smacking you in the head, so I should do that? Is that how it works? You know, I feel like, you know, when I come to the GBC meeting to bring, you know, a box that has a pizza in it, and every time that I get bored, open it up, take my juice out and eat, and close it before anybody else can get one. that's what I feel like, you know. No?
I would say better would be popcorn. You can eat all the time.
Yeah, this is anti-stress, you know.
Yeah.
You eat and then you calm down.
You watch it.
Or you can bring both. Yeah, bring your drink and the whole thing. That'd be fun in the meeting, right? You're sitting in the meeting, it's getting long and all that. Pick up your phone, make a phone call, say, I like this kind of this, that, pizza, whatever it is. TVC room, you know, third chair from the right, you know, like that, and then like 2 minutes later somebody comes in, puts it down in front of me. All the other team, what? It'll be good. Then, two, inference, anuman, a comparison, upamana, and testimony, shabda. Right? So we use what we means we'll see is Jiva Goswami, he brings it down to comparison. Is going to be used within inference.
That.
So therefore it doesn't have to be separate. He gives 10 overall, but of those 10, he accepts these 4. Because he says the other 6 are contained in these 4. Mm-hmm. And Jiva Goswami shows how even comparison is within these 3.
Inference.
Yeah. So therefore you don't have to run. But it's just a matter of you want to give more importance than you bring it out. Then two, Prameya, the 12 objects of knowledge. Right, so Atman, the body, the 5 senses, the objects of the senses, cognition, mind, activity, mental defects, attachment, hatred, and infatuation. Rebirth, results, suffering, freedom from suffering. So these are all the points to discuss. So when you see like in Tarkasangraha, it'll define each of those. You know, so that you have something to discuss about. Because Praman is where you got your knowledge. But Prameya is what you're talking about. How are you going to apply that? Right? So then after that, you're going to have, okay, what are the methods for discussing Prameya and applying Pramana? Right? So then you're going to have 3, then doubt, Shamshaya. 4, aim, Prayojana. 5, example, Drishtanta. Right? Because we mentioned before, drishtanta means you're giving the example to that person to stand. So it's not the example itself, it's the effect that the example causes. Mm-hmm. So if I give an example they don't understand, that's not drishtanta. This is the wrong example. No?
Yeah.
Doctrine, siddhanta. Constituents of inference, five avyayas. So that's statements, pratigya, reason, hetu, example, udaharana. Universal proposition, upanaya, and conclusion, nigamana. The universal proposition means we're saying this, you're saying this. This is the point that this is the principle on which it's based, and so therefore, what you're saying is already concluded in what we're saying. Like that. 8 hypothetical argument, tarka. 9 conclusion, nirnaya. 10 discussion leading to final conclusion, vada. Wrangling, japa, is 11. 12 irrational reasoning, fitanda. 13 spacious reasoning. So what's the difference between irrational and fallacious? Or irrational?
Irrational reasoning is you're just trying to argue to win.
Oh, okay.
You don't have any... It's like on your own.
Is this means like I feel like that? That would be irrational?
No, because you don't have any thesis of your own.
I would say that would be the next one. Hetvabhasha.
Hetvabhasha is...
Means you have your thing, but it's not reasonable how you're putting it together.
But we said that's a philosophy's reason.
Yes. What we're saying here is irrational means I'm only arguing to win.
That's what I understand. I'm asking the next one, because I thought irrational, it means I'm irrational. For example, I'm saying this only because I want this, for example. So it's irrational.
Yeah, that's...
You could say, but because his point is he just wants to win.
Yeah, but the second one, I mean the eighth one, it's more like I'm saying this because this is the truth. But that's the false one.
Yes, but they're using false reasoning. The reasoning is false.
So the technique is wrong.
The technique is wrong. You're talking about this wrong technique. See, that means when you're talking here from wrangling, means the 9, wrangling, irrational reason, spacious, unfair reply, generality. These are all improper ways to apply. It means that here that 10... Vada means you're trying to come to a final conclusion. That's real. Conclusion, nirnaya, that's also siddhanta?
No, nirnaya is after hetvabhasha, after tarka, then you final ascertainment.
Oh, okay. And then that's you. So where does siddhanta come
siddhanta
in?
Siddhanta is before, proof doctrine.
Where was that?
Before.
Sixth
one. On the top.
Oh, okay.
They're going in that order?
No.
No. These are just describing what's there.
Okay.
You know, but what we do see is that after 10, from 11 through 16, these are all just, these are the weaknesses in the system. So that's why we know those.
Those from 10, they seem to be random, no? It doesn't have to go like this.
No, they don't have to go. It's just mentioning them all. There's a logic to the present, to the bogusness that's there, because there's various aspects of bogusness. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one is your reasoning is wrong, but you think you're right. You know, that's the hetvabhasha. The irrational reason, vitanda, is... You may be reasoning very nicely, but your reasoning is only to defeat the other person. It's not to establish siddhanta. You just don't want the other person to win. You know, it's just like let's say you are doing spacious reasoning, but you know you understand you can't defeat the other person, but your false ego is such you can't not be defeated. You can't be defeated. So you will then switch to vitanda to try to defeat them just because you have to defeat. Yes.
That's why most of the times when the acharya says tarka, you cannot reach to conclusion by tarka, it's because of this attitude of the vitandavadi. He uses tarka to just win.
Yeah.
But when tarka is applied to the next one, to come to a conclusion, nigamana, then it acts as an accessory to understanding of tattva.
You know, it's just that you...
So it's not necessarily wrong.
It's not necessarily wrong, but in itself...
Yeah.
But in itself, if you glorify it as an independent pramana or...
You know, understand the difference between, let's say, we're analyzing for the body or not. You know, that would be the tarka. But the point is just because that's been brought out doesn't mean it's a conclusion. The conclusion is we're the sole servant of Krishna.
Wouldn't be like we had that experience in Vedanta Sutra when Vyasadeva would defeat them on that point, for example, about the Lord. That's what I remember. Then the eye of the eye, they say it's Indra. Then they bring up something else. And again, he defeats them, and then they bring up something else. On the same point from a different angle. That's tarka?
That's also that argumentation, tarka, but... The thing is, by tarka, if you are whoever is more intelligent, more good at argument, they will defeat the other one.
Yeah.
That's why that whole episode of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then he could defeat everybody using tarka because he's so good at it. But he didn't understand the final conclusion. Of course, he can't go against the absolute truth, but. He would present only his side of it, and then just
so they're all can be mixed together. That you're using tarka just to defeat the other person, but when you're just using tarka, you're using tarka. So that aspect's tarka, but that your purpose is just to defeat the other person. You're not trying to establish something. That would be called vitanda, right? If you're having vada, and in that you're arguing over the point, then tarka is going on. But it's still in the terms of you're trying to find the absolute, it'll be called vada. So it's just a matter of the things go together. You know, they're tools to use, you know, that you're using your grater and grating up the potatoes and making roosty. You know, so then that's a tool that you use. So that's what's going on, but then, you know, what that will become, and so there's combinations of all these. So you learn them all separately, but then when you apply them, you know, it's just like you learn temperature on the pan, you learn what the pan is, how it is, how the spoon's working, what's the nature of, you know, what you're using, you know, is it to keep it from sticking, how things you use the lid. But then you know how each one works, but when you actually cook, they all go together, and you just call it cooking. Yes?
Also there are... In between vada and vitanda, there is jalpa. Vada means both have their thesis, and then you discuss till one person's thesis is accepted, and then other person is also convinced. It's about like, you know, a teacher and student. Then student may argue, but finally the argument stops only when the student is convinced what the teacher is saying is truth.
Mm-hmm.
That is vada. Then the next one, jalpa, is both have their thesis, but if one is able to win over the other, you stop it there. You don't go ahead to establish conclusive truth. So jalpa is about winning, but both have, there are two different
but
people
they both
having
have, they
their
both
own
have
thesis.
Their thesis.
Mm.
And vitanda is where I have thesis, but the opponent doesn't have any thesis. His thesis is pointing out faults in my thesis.
Yeah, you know, you get that.
That's
so
why
this
the
is cheating, basically.
It is.
That's what the journalist
means. After this, after these are all cheating.
Cheating.
So that's from 11, they're cheating.
Mm.
You can say. But you know, it's like when you have in the class that you say something, but because it touches on some, you know, some issue or that, they don't have an idea. They just like to argue. So they'll bring up, no, but you know, you said this, so you mean that, and they just start an argument. You know, it's like on the internet trolls.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all they're doing. It's just to create an argument, and that's all. They have nothing to conclude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you're wrong here and there, and oh, you're like these guys, and that's another one up here where you use the what do you call it? Generalization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because what do you call it? You made a distinction between the two, therefore you're a racist, and therefore you're a Nazi, and therefore you're this and that. But all you did was just say that the pieces on that side of the chessboard are black and the ones on this side are white. Oh, why you're making distinction and this and that and that's, you know, prejudice, you know, you're that's that kind of.
And vitanda is then if the if a person's proposition has some faults, then a vitanda vada is actually there is a fault, that's why he's able to point out and win over. But after vitanda, whatever is coming, you don't have fault. They assume faults and they make a mess about the whole thing.
So
that's
it's a
what
projection.
Happens. Yeah.
It's a projection.
The real fault isn't there.
There.
No. No. Mm-hmm.
So the last four are basically, when it comes to our philosophy, we face with somebody who's trying to, you know, argue. Because philosophy is perfect. There is no
yes.
fault in that.
But they're taking it in another thing. Is that the mm-hmm. And so all these issues, let's say, that are within the movement, they fall into those categories. You know, there may be some point that they can see and connect and it has some logic to it, but the difficulty is that they're applying it wrong, because the point is the shabda is correct. So they're not trying to understand the shabda. They're trying to argue with it because they have an attachment for something else. You know, all the... Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And generally, in one sense, Maharaj, then, Vitandavada is the Buddhists try to do in other philosophies. They don't have, but, you know, their reasoning is, in one sense, sometimes proper.
Yeah.
The logic. But anybody down, Hetvabha Sachala is then others who doesn't have a philosophy also at all. And they try to prove something. But when a Buddhist try to argue, use that Vitanda against Vedanta, then there they fall short. Because the other five schools have some problems. Then they kind of pick some faults in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then from Vedanta, then completely demolish Buddhism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Vedanta can deal with all of this. While the others, then there'll be some weaknesses there. Because they can't establish the absolute truth so clearly. Because if they are, then they're talking Vedanta.
And Buddhists, they don't have any philosophy on their own.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing.
There's
so,
nothing.
But if there's nothing, that means there's no philosophy either. The person saying there's nothing, the words that says there's nothing, the sound that is made is nothing, you hearing it is nothing, there is nothing. So therefore, why are they talking?
Still they call Shunyavada. Shunyavadis means their philosophy is Shunya.
Yeah, there is no philosophy.
Others call them Shunyavadis, whether they would like themselves to be called Shunyavadis.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sometimes
they don't call themselves.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. The Mayavadis call themselves Mayavadis.
Yeah.
But they did. Mayavadis.
Yeah. I was also, I remember we were in Orissa for something, and somebody came to one of our programs wearing all white, you know, some kind of baba and all that. And, you know, in the commentary, he asked, you know, what. I think it was some kind of program, and they were all sitting there saying, oh, what's your sampadaya? He said, Sahaji.
Yeah.
So they call themselves Sahajis. It's, I always thought it was a derogatory term. But
yeah.
No, but for them, no, we're Sahajis. Okay. Okay, does that make kind of sense? So that, therefore then, unfair upai chala means, as he said, one word, you switch shift it to another.
Either word or meaning.
Word or meaning, something, you adjust it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, like, you have synonyms.
Yeah.
So you say one and you shift it to another one, and then argue on that because this one's not the correct for this year, and then argue that you're wrong. But it's just, that it's, so it's therefore, say unfair, right? Generally based on a false analogy. So then you're taking something in general, like you say, oh, you know, those ponds are black. Oh, you think they're the, like, the, you know, the black community, and that they're not good enough and all that. And you look down on it. It's like it had nothing to do with it. You were just saying that there's two sides of the board and they have different colors, you know, like that. But they take it immediately into, you know, so generally you see those many times who have issues on the politically correct platform, they use this all the time. Whatever you say goes into there.
Yes.
And then grounds for defeat, nigrahastana, then means that they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what you're talking about. And so there's no way you can have a proper discussion. So that is grounds for defeat. It means they may or may not accept that they're defeated, but you know that there's no reason to continue the discussion.
Sometimes in interviews, and then somebody asks, so you said that, you know, a few minutes ago. I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. You know, in interviews, I never said that. They just said that, you know, few minutes or few seconds before. I didn't say that. I didn't mean it. So you can't talk with them.
Yes, and then why bother? Okay. Structure of Nyaya Sutras. So that ends what was Sautramajas. Maybe you should put those asterisks. And you know. Structure of Nyaya Sutras. So this is how the sutras themselves are. It's done from the next page we start on the sutras. The Nyaya Sutras, originally composed by Gautama Rishi, is divided into five adhyayas, chapters, each containing two sections called ahnikas. That's interesting. Chapter, and then it's got a section. His system will follow a threefold procedure, namely, udesha, naming or indicating an object, lakshana, defining the unique characteristics of an object, and pariksha, critically examining and confirming the unique characteristics of the object, because then you know exactly what it is. Of them, udesha means the act of returning to an object by name. Lakshana means the distinguishing characteristics, atattva, vyavachedaka dharma, or the characteristic which differentiates an object, how you can tell the difference between it and something else, from all other objects. Pariksha means ascertaining the appropriateness of the distinguishing characteristic of an object through the medium of pramanas, right? So you can analyze that. You know, what makes it different? You know, like before I was giving the thing, the dewlap on the cow, that's the unique feature. Because if you say, oh, it's an animal, there's so many animals. You say it's got horns, somebody had horns. You know, it has long ears, others have long ears. You know, it gives milk, so many other animals give milk, it's got a tail, none of those. But the dewlap, that only the cow has. So that's the distinguishing feature. You can say that, then that means that animal. You know, and then what pramanas are there? Okay, I saw that, or the scripture says that. You know, does that make sense? Or when I went last time, I went to the Chinese restaurant. I got a fortune cookie. It said that. You know, some pramanas. Thus, just after naming and classifying the 16 padarthas for the first two sutras, the definitions of the padarthas classified are stated for the rest of the first adhyaya, right? So you're going to name and classify and analyze, you know, what are the 16, so it's very clear exactly what it is. Kind of like what Prabhu was doing before, you know, saying that what it is, what makes it unique. Because otherwise, there's many things that are overlapping. So what's the unique one? Like, they're both arguing, you know, uselessly, but one has a philosophy, one doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, and the one who doesn't have the philosophy may be using all these bogus methods, or he may be using proper logic, but his only goal is to defeat you, not to establish it. You know, and the others, they're using bogus systems, but they may have a philosophy, or they may not, you know, like that. So it's just with the unique characters. Then the next four adhyayas critically examine all the 16 objects. The first adhyaya defines the 16 divisions of knowledge. The second elaborates on the first of the 16 objects, pramana. The third and fourth adhyayas elaborate on the second of the 16, prameya. Right, because pramana and prameya, those need to be properly established. The fifth adhyaya elaborates on the remaining 14 objects.
And Maharaj, what's prameya?
Prameya is what is proven.
What is
established. Okay. So that was before what we mentioned here, and Gautama gives prameya, 12 objects of knowledge, Atman, the body, 5 senses, objects of senses, cognition, mind, activity, mental defects, rebirth, results, suffering, freedom, suffering. So that's what he classifies as prameya. We have our own Pramayas. These will be included in there. The Dasamula.
Yes, Dasamula. This is
so Praman is the first, and the other nine are the Pramayas.
I don't know where it's coming from. So one Praman is there's nine Pramayas. Yes. That should be established.
Yes.
By Praman.
Yeah, by Praman. Based on Praman, you establish the Pramayas.
Pramana is source of valid knowledge, and Pramaya is the object of knowledge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then you see is through that you can analyze what's the uniqueness, what's this and that, and that's where logic comes in. You want to establish the Praman. I mean, Praman and Pramaya, so you want to establish those, so that's where the logic comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So you analyze. But the techniques of analyzation, that's the other 14, right? So of that, then 8 are, you could say, valid, and 6 are invalid.
Mm-hmm.
Though, if you're dealing with a bozo, you can use the invalid ones just because it gets rid of them. Yeah. You know, they're doing that to you, you can do it back. Like, sometimes you see in there, they ask these stupid questions, and I'll say this, connect this to this, and that to that, keep going like that until they just exhaust, or they don't know what's going on. And then like that, and then they just stop talking, so. You know, then you can carry on with your class.
Yeah.
You know, or you just say something absolutely absurd. You know, so you're taking that, what do you call it, chala? You know, it's said in one thing and you take it in a really absurd example. It's kind of like, what? They kind of wake up and then like that, then you move on with what you want to say. So you can use them when people are just not understanding it.
Prabhupada in one, I think university, Prabhupada asked any questions and one person just got up and, why you have the shikha at the back? And Prabhupada said, why you have tie in front of your neck? And he was seriously into it and was started thinking. Because why you wear a tie, it's like, has no sense, like, that to round around the legs. So,
yeah.
And he just got it and Prabhupada carried on.
Why you wear a tie? Yeah.
So which one is that? Among all those? Chalak?
That is, are you taking a generalization there? That would be
jati.
That would be the jati. It means he put it into, you know, something sticking out the back of your head, and what about this thing sticking out of the front of your neck?
So it's like, why you have tail at the back of your head?
Yeah, why you have tail
in the front?
You just take a category like that. You know, it's just, what?
At least we have it at the back.
We can explain it, it has a meaning. The modern one, what's the tie do? Before it comes from... I think it comes from the original, from the cravat.
Cravat?
Yeah, the cravat is the French picked it up when they were having a war down with the Croatians.
Mm-hmm.
So cravat is some French, you know, grammatical thing of Croat. Because all the Croats, when they're on the battle, they all have this cloth that's around their neck and then tied in a bow in the front. So then it started off with a bow tie and other things like that, and then it somehow or another turned into this tie. What does it do? It has no purpose other than it's supposed to look nice, but it doesn't actually serve a function. Well, the original thing actually kept your neck warm, you know, from the wind. Like that. You know, so, yeah, so therefore... You know, we can at least explain the seeker, but they why explain it? They won't understand. So you just ask this and this, shut them up. And move on, you know. But that one is, you know, if you know everything, how many windows in the Empire State Building? You know, and they probably said, how many windows in a mirage? You know, they just die.
It's also like part of Vitanda Maharaj. He just tried to pick fault in your one.
Yeah.
But in his own logic, you're finding a fault. Vitanda is, can be...
Yeah, so you just use it back. You know, so Sutananda do that. You say something, he would take it, turn it around, and stuff it back down your throat. It worked. You know, no one could defeat it. Okay. Hence, the first adhyaya deals with the Udesha and Lakshana aspects. So the Udesha is naming and defining the unique characteristics. And the rest four adhyayas deal with pariksha, means critically examining, confirming the unique characteristics. The current study of Nyaya Sutras focuses mainly on the first adhyaya, which gives a short description of the 16 divisions of knowledge. From the rest four adhyayas, only topics relevant to our context are elaborated in order to make things easier for the students. Right, so therefore we get the benefit of the all three of them, the naming, defining, and critically examining. But we get the first two from the first adhyaya, and the other four we only take those parts of it that gives some support. Because we don't need to go into that much detail. Right? Because this is not a course on logic. This is a course on what is logic and how it works. So from this you can use the principles. So this is how to take the principles and use them. Does that make sense? We're doing it on time. So now, Adhyaya 1, Anika 1. So these are sutras. This is from, what's his name? Vatsyayana.
Gautama. Sutra is from Gautama and commentary by Vatsyayana.
Oh, commentary by Vatsyayana. Okay. Oh, really? The sutras are Gautama. Gautama. I somehow thought it was the Nyaya Sutras. It was his. Was Vatsyayana giving a summary of Gautama. So this is the actual, okay, is that?
Yeah.
The sutra is Gautama, and all the rest of it, the other of the commentaries of the Vatsyayana, and then we'll put in purports by the Acharyas.
And Mahanika means literally the discourse of a day.
Discourse of a day. So one adhyaya takes 2 days to discuss. That's very far out.
Each day you can discuss one adhyaya. 10 days.
10 days. So you can do it all in 10 days.
What, the whole logic?
Yeah.
In 10 days?
Yeah. Means there's a slight prerequisite. That's to be a, what do you call it? You need to be a shrutidhar. So then if you are a shrutidhar, you hear just once and you remember and all that, then you could do it in 10 days. Yeah.
And I had one, when I was looking in the internet and then in the folio, then one pandit came to meet Prabhupada and he was describing about how he became a Vaishnava. So he was trying to study Vedanta, then he first went to the Ramakrishna Mission, he was not satisfied, then he went to some South Indian Shankarite, there he was not satisfied.
This is in Calcutta?
Yeah, he made...
Okay, no, but he was talking about, he was from Calcutta.
I think so.
Okay, because just as you're saying that, I knew the places, and I'm thinking, what? This must be Calcutta.
So then, then he went to South to Shankarite, there he was not satisfied. Then he went to Sri Vaishnava Guru, it seems. The Sri Vaishnava Guru said, okay, first you go and study grammar, Nyaya, logic, and Mimamsa, and then come back, then we'll sit and discuss Vedanta Sutra. So without discussing that, then these people will misinterpret all this. Already he has a baggage of misinterpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So first these three you study, then it becomes
easy. You have a basis for discussion
of Vedanta Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
So even we are discussing this, then we'll study Vedanta Sutra again.
Notice the very sober on that. Okay. But the point is after going through these things, then it'll be easier.
Summary study.
It'll be a summary study. I mean, unless you really like, because we have time.
So, how big is the material? Is it like
this material?
55 pages, and then another 10, 20, 75 pages. This.
All together?
Yeah. And the Mimamsa are also maybe around 50-60
papers. So both the six systems?
Oh, the six systems?
No, Maharaj. Oh. Only the Mimamsa sutras from Jaimin.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
This is
for doing the six, the what do you call it? Taparyalingas.
No, because this established the epistemology and Jaimin has established the harmonetics.
Yeah, harmonetics.
And using those two, Vedanta Sutra is the discussion about the six systems.
Okay.
Like where they go wrong, what is the weakness, what is the strength, because he quotes all these Jaimini sutras and everything.
Okay.
So once the epistemology and harmonics are described, then studying Vedanta Sutra is easy, because there he doesn't give so so much like my explanation
okay,
on what
to
is
know already before. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So then you won't be lost. You'll be found. Wrong group.
No, I said you will be found. You will be found.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.